if you would quickly. 1 Kings in chapter number 19. I don't want to be long, but I can't help but think that there is somebody here this evening that needs to hear exactly what we're going to be talking about in 1 Kings chapter number 19. We're going to jump back into the life of Paul next Wednesday, and the part that we're going to jump into now is his full dedicated service to the gospel and to the service of his Savior. And you're going to be encouraged by that. I know you are. But before we get into that next week, and because of what was requested by the preacher as far as testimonies, I knew we'd be short on time, and I'd been thinking about that, and I want to share this with you just by way of encouragement. I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to teach. I want to encourage you. In 1 Kings chapter number 19, the Bible says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done." What had Elijah done? Well, if you read 1 Kings chapter number 18, you would find that God used Elijah in a powerful way to overcome the prophets of Baal. God used Elijah in a way in which most people thought a man can't be used this way. But yet when God empowered him, he accomplished something that surpassed the expectations of everybody that was present. That's what Elijah had done. Well, Ahab tells Jezebel, and verse 1 continues, "And withal he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. If I make not thy life as the life of one of them." Who? The prophets. And what had happened to their lives? They had ended. And so Jezebel says, "I'm going to kill you," in verse 3. "And when he saw that," he, speaking of Elijah, "he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose, and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave, and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah?" In 1 Kings chapter number 19, I want to share some very brief thoughts now for the next 13 minutes to encourage you. Because what you have is you have a man transitioning from a time in his life where he was able to accomplish miraculous things for the cause of Christ. He was able to do things maybe that he himself thought he was unable to do. But when he found himself completely trusting in the power and in the grace of God, what God could do through him surpassed even his own expectations. But yet God used him in a powerful way. Then you come and you transition right into chapter number 19 and verse number 1, and you find Ahab telling nasty old Jezebel what the news was, and Jezebel immediately responds by sending a messenger unto Elijah, basically saying, "Just as you have killed, you will be killed." That's bad news. That's bad news. You're going to die. I don't care if it was Almighty Jehovah God that used you, you're going to die. If I could just title the next now 11 minutes, I would title it this: Blindsided by Bad News. One of the things that sometimes we fail to realize and to understand is the frailty of life. We can sometimes become so content and we can get into such deep ruts in our lives that we fail to realize how frail life itself really is. I once heard Pastor Monty say that he believes that sometimes God brings death, sometimes to those we know, whether close or extended, as a small reminder of the fact that life is indeed frail. And every time you attend and you grieve at a funeral, you ought to consider how frail not only was the life of that one that lay in that casket, but you ought to consider the frailty of your own life. We take health for granted. We take daylight for granted. We take a good night's rest for granted. We take all of the things that seem so basic to us for granted. And yet sometimes, and many of you have already been there, or many of you will likely be there one day, in the middle of what seems to be the most normal circumstances, out of nowhere one morning, or out of nowhere you'll receive a phone call, or out of nowhere you'll have a pain in your body, or out of nowhere you'll get a bad email that's going to strike your heart, and you're blindsided by bad news. One day to the next, life seems like it's completely changed, and you don't understand how life could change so quick. And what will come into your mind immediately is how frail life really can be, because it is. Elijah finds himself on a mountaintop accomplishing great things for God. But within a few hours span, he gets blindsided by bad news from Jezebel, and it absolutely destroys him. It knocks him down flat on his face, and that is sometimes what bad news can do to an individual, especially when you're blindsided by it. Some of you have received the phone call that says someone that you love was in a bad accident. Some of you have awoken in the middle of the night to that ringing of the phone that just pierces your heart in the middle of the night. And when you pick it up and you say hello, somebody on the other line is delivering bad news. Some of you have sat in the office of a doctor in which the doctor has delivered news to you that seems to just devastate you and crush you because you know you're going to be facing a difficult road. Some of you have been in the place where no matter what the situation might be, you were delivered with something that seemed to blindside you, to knock you right off your feet. It was bad news. You weren't expecting it, but here it is. Hello, you've got to deal with it. And if you've never felt that, then I'm telling you, church, you're going to. At some point in your life, that phone call is going to come. At some point in your life, something is going to happen. Something is going to overtake you. Something is going to cross your path that is going to blindside you in such a major way, and you're going to need to know how to deal with it. Elijah's response was not very good. The Bible says in verse 4, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. For he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, 'It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life.'" You see how the news that blindsided Elijah so crushed his spirit, it so crushed his emotional state, it so crushed him in every single way, that all he could do is cry out unto the God of heaven, "It is enough, just take my life, that is it." And some of you have experienced that. You've experienced that news that seems to nearly take your breath away and seems to pull every good emotion out of your body and seems to drain every bit of strength that you have. And it puts you down on your back and you just don't know what to do because you absolutely weren't expecting it. And just 5 minutes ago, everything was so normal. And yet it all changed so fast. Elijah's response was a response that is very basic to human nature. When bad news comes, oftentimes our human nature suddenly just looks within ourselves, forgets about everything around us, forgets about the God that has saved us, turns inward, and is only concerned about what we are experiencing at that moment. And I'm telling you, if you've received the bad news, or if one day you're going to receive the bad news, remember this: don't allow it to turn your focus on only yourself. Because what the bad news will tend to do is it will tend to make you so self-focused that you will become so filled with self-pity and self-concern that you will be interested in nothing but yourself. And to be honest with you, your human nature is going to say that's exactly the way it should be right now. Because after all, look what you're going through. But I'm telling you, it's a wrong response. It was Elijah's response. "Just take me, Lord. It's not worth it. It's too much. It's unexpected." Be careful with that. Maybe you've gone through something, and maybe still at this very moment you're struggling because all you're focused on, and you can feel yourself consumed with just that, yourself. That's dangerous. That's a very dangerous condition and a very dangerous emotional and spiritual state to be in. Because what that is going to do is that is going to spiritually and emotionally plunge you into a discouragement that will become so deep that you won't be concerned about anything but yourself. And it will produce such a high level of self-pity, and it will produce such a high level of self-concern that nothing will ever, ever be as important to you as what you're going through at that very moment. And it will absolutely consume your thoughts, as it did Elijah sitting there under a juniper tree. It makes him absolutely ineffective. It drains all energy. You don't feel like working. You don't feel like doing anything. You feel like you are absolutely, somebody took the syringe, stuck it in you, and sucked every bit of life out of you. And that's what plunges you down into that discouragement when you've been blindsided by bad news. Be careful. Maybe right now that's what you're experiencing. It's time to break through that. You're not going to be able to work yourself through the situation until you break through the self-concern, till you break through the self-pity, till you break through yourself. Because that's what it does. We, created by God, were not created to be concerned about ourselves only. We were created by God to serve. We were created by God to be a blessing. And when you unnaturally, according to your creation, start to look only within yourself, what it does is it puts you in a condition and a state that is very, very dangerous to you spiritually. But that's what being blindsided by bad news does. I can't understand when I get a call that says somebody has taken their life and committed suicide. And it's because they felt like nobody loved them and nobody cared for them and nothing when their life was going right. When I'm talking to the mother of that person that has just committed suicide and she has tears running down her cheeks saying how much she loved her son. How could she say nobody loved you? When I'm talking to a little 7-year-old daughter who is so crushed by the news that she's heard that her daddy just committed suicide that she refuses to even speak a single word about it because her heart is crushed at what her daddy has done. How could you say nobody loves you? When I'm talking to the mom and the wife who is hurting and who is trying all different types of ways to deal with it, and she wants counseling, and she wants this, and she wants that, and she wants to get out of the house because everything she sees reminds her of him. And it's hard for her to deal with. How could he have said nobody loved him? Because he became so consumed with self that he never even considered what others were thinking, feeling, or what they were even caring about, whether they loved him or not. All he ever thought about was himself. When you're blindsided by bad news, it's going to discourage you if you're not careful. It's going to cause you to be inefficient in everything you do if you're not careful because it's going to drain you. You're going to feel like doing nothing but laying around all day. All you're going to want to do is veg on a couch because your body is going to tell you that's all it wants. That's what your body wants, it says. You're dealing with the bad news in a wrong way. You have to be careful. That's what Elijah was doing. Let's not spend too much time there because in verse number 5, the Bible says, as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then the angel touched him. The angel touched him. I believe that God understands the frailty of our human nature. I really do. I really do believe that God understands what we feel, what we experience, what we go through. I really do. I can't help but think of the song that says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Prone to do it. At a moment's notice of bad news, we are so prone to turn our back on what we for years have held to and forget everything about it for a period of time. I believe God knows that. We must take the right approach to dealing with it. And there were three areas of comfort that Elijah could take. One was God was in control. There was nothing that was happening that was a surprise to God or that God was not able to help you work through. God was still in control. But yet when you're blindsided by bad news, your first thought is, everything in my life should be peachy and rosy. I shouldn't be having to deal with these things. God has lost control. Maybe you're not going to say it, but that's what your actions are going to demonstrate. God, why have you lost control of what's happening in my life? Why have you lost control of what's taking place around me? But has God lost control? No. God is still in control. And you can always, always, always take comfort in that. I love my little boy. And one of the things that I've learned the most is that my little boy always has confidence in his dad. Always. He can be standing on the edge of a swimming pool that if he jumps and I weren't there, he could very likely drown. But he doesn't think a thing about it. He jumps right into daddy's arms. Why? Because daddy's going to be in control. Whatever the situation might be, when I'm around, he responds with such an amazing amount of confidence that sometimes it even takes me by surprise. But what it is it's the fact that he feels I'm always in control. You say, that's just what children are like. Maybe that's the childlike faith that Christ and God desires of us. God, I don't understand why this is happening, but I still know that you're in control. Just like a child, I don't need to understand, but I know you're there. God is in control. Not only that, but God is going to grow you. When you go through a situation where you're blindsided by bad news, your first response should be this: God is going to grow me beyond where I am right now and probably beyond where I thought I could go. God is going to grow me. I like the illustration of a boy who had a neighbor who every morning his neighbor would come out, grab that newspaper from the front lawn, come to a tree at this point that was just a small little tree, and his neighbor would take that newspaper and just whack that tree like he was angry at it, like it was a disobedient child. And that little boy would look out the window and think, what is that neighbor doing? But he'd do it every morning. He would do it. The boy grew and the boy moved, and years later he came back to visit his old childhood home, and he happened to see that this man was outside still living. So he stopped in and said, do you remember me? This is the house I grew up. He says, I sure do. After talking for a little while, the boy says, may I ask you a question? When I was young, I'd see you hitting that tree, and I'd see you knocking that thing, and I'd see you like you were just angry at it. Why were you doing that? And the man just looks and he says, look, and that tree was no longer a small tree. That tree had a trunk that was so thick, and that tree, you could nearly see its roots spreading feet after feet, after foot after foot after foot, and it was big and it was tall. And the man said, I just figured that the more it went through, the more it would be able to withstand. And sometimes I just can't help feel like that's the way we should look at bad news when we're blindsided. The more that we can go through, the more God will help us to withstand. And God will grow us by what it is. Maybe it's not the type of growing process that we want to go through, but God will grow you through it. And lastly, God is not going to give you what you can't handle. And you can rest assured in that. When God brings something across your path or allows something to come across your path, it's not going to be something that He's going to say, I know He can't handle it. You will. He'll help you. Take comfort in that. Take comfort in that. He'll give you every bit and measure of grace that you need to get through it. He will not leave you alone. And then down later on, God says to Elijah, what doest thou here, Elijah? Elijah, it's time to get back to work. Once you're blindsided by the bad news, once you go through that period of dealing with it, not allowing yourself to be put down into discouragement, not allowing yourself to sink into a depression, not allowing yourself to be emotionally, spiritually, and physically overcome, but yet trusting in God, knowing He's in control. God, I know You want to grow me. God, I know that You are going to uphold me when I feel like I cannot get through this. And I know that You are in control. And God says, all right, now it's time to just get back to what you are saved to do, and that was to serve, to serve. And the best way to get out of being consumed with yourself is to serve others, to serve others. Maybe tonight this has been an encouragement to you. I'd have to presume it is, because I really feel this is what the Lord wanted me to share tonight. And I feel like it is something that somebody needed, if not just me. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the time that we've had, just a few minutes, I know, but yet I thank You for them, and I pray that You would work in each one of our hearts, that we might be encouraged now through Your Word. And I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.